Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. Hour number three is upon us. And I'll tell you, we've been cooking with gas here. The first 2 hours have blown by. We've had this ongoing theme, and if you're just picking us up here, feel free to chime in. Ongoing theme here about the question of the day has been artificial intelligence, and I just got a message. By artificial intelligence, does that mean that that you were blonde and had your hair dyed black?
Hey.
No, that's not what we're talking about here.
Boys are weird.
So artificial intelligence, can AI, artificial intelligence, do you think that it could replace, even if it got more perfected and refined, could it replace a judge and a jury? And or a jury, the trier of fact, the body that is responsible for saying, okay, we've heard all the evidence and we find for the plaintiff, for the defendant, or guilty, not guilty, or a judge who has to make a determination whether or not evidence should be suppressed based upon the actions of law enforcement or what have you. Is that something that ultimately could be left to AI? Would you be comfortable with that as opposed to, would you be comfortable with AI, a robot, a programmed or a entity, a non-human entity, making a determination to a moral certainty that you as a defendant were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? Or, that's tough.
Tell me one case you've tried, Todd, where you think to yourself, you know what, AI would be fine if they made the determination on this case. Have any come to mind? Because that's a tough one to me. Obviously, the human factor is in every case that you've tried in court now. And would AI reflect that human factor? And as we said before, in the Amber Heard matter with Johnny Depp, would AI reflect their plain visceral dislike for Amber Heard?
So I had a case way back in the day.
Okay.
Prosecuting a case. It was a DUI case. And the question here was whether or not the defendant drove his vehicle while he was intoxicated, all right? And in that case, the issue here was his car. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, old country road. The car was stopped in the middle of the road on the side of the road. Caller calls in and sees a door open, a guy sitting there, calls CHP. And it takes a while for CHP to respond, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And CHP got there. When CHP got there, they find the guy. He's clearly intoxicated, right? And his blood alcohol was well over 0.25, so he had been intoxicated for some time. And there was no alcohol in and around the car, so you know wherever he did his drinking to get drunk, it happened before he got to that location. Right.
Well, obviously the vehicle got there somehow.
So, but the question was, you know, but how intoxicated was he? I mean, did he pound a bunch of alcohol before he got there? What was, and I agree that the people have to prove this, the prosecution has to prove this. What was the blood alcohol level at the time of driving? Not at the time the officer saw him, which was maybe 45 minutes, an hour after driving. What was it at the time of driving? Now, in this case, The interesting thing, and this came up in trial, like at the very end, it was when the caller called law enforcement, the location of the vehicle was about a half mile down the road from where the officer found the vehicle when he got there. So sometime after the call and before the officer got there in that 45 minutes, The guy started his vehicle, drove about a half mile down the road, and then stopped it again. And so when the, and so we were able to use that to prove, okay, this happened in this period.
Right.
Ergo,
therefore,
you know,
he was driving
while he was impaired.
Right, yeah.
I'd be comfortable with AI making that determination because you could decide.
But couldn't the guy say, well, you know, my girlfriend came and moved it for me, and then I said stop and go home. And I mean, there could have been all kinds of scenarios under which the car
3 o'clock in the morning in a rural road with no other houses anything like that, where was the person? If that evidence had been produced, that would have been interesting, but there was no evidence produced of that.
Got it.
So it was just what we had, and they made the determination.
So he was convicted, I take it?
He was.
Okay.
He was convicted.
So now, about these cases where people just don't like one party or the other, like the Amber Heard and the Murdaugh case, AI, would they be overmatched when there is an emotional component or a like or dislike component to a case?
Well, here's an interesting thing on that. So take the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case, and we're talking about cases where there is clearly an emotional component to it, even though the jury's not supposed to use emotion to make any determination. Well, the real emotional component in the Amber Heard case was the one brought by the plaintiff. It was Amber Heard's side was the one really trying to pour on the emotions and crying on the witness stand and everything that was going on, and apparently that had no play with the jury. So the jury was able to weed through that. I don't know that AI would have been much different. But in that case, there was just as much critiquing and scrutiny and speculation about how the jurors were perceiving the lawyers in the case as there was the evidence. And I guess in a situation like that, that would be where AI might be better able to just focus as what was it? Who's the guy from Dragnet? Joe Friday would say,
just the facts, man.
Right.
But I think the court issue seems to be to me that many times courts wish that jurors were dispassionate, simply could not key into any of the emotional stuff. Give me just the facts, ma'am. I'll make a determination on whether the coin landed on heads or tails. That's it.
Well, we know that's the case because the jury instructions specifically say that. Don't let your determination be influenced, not based on, but even influenced.
But you're human. How can you know?
Yeah.
That's the point, right?
That's true. But then you look at the Murdaugh case, right? And I think that clearly there was a lot of emotions on the part of the jury that were, this is the part where... And we'll talk about Lori Vallow here this hour, but when this happened, it was done for me. And if my concern has always been in the Murdaugh case that the jury at some point in time in the trial, anytime a juror says, well, once I heard this piece of evidence, I knew he was guilty. Well, okay, the case hadn't been given to you yet, and so did you not listen to the rest of the evidence? And then you got a case that went on for, 3-4 weeks. The jury makes a determination in 3 hours. They go from a 9-1-2 split, 9 for guilty, 2 for not guilty, 1 on the fence, to all 12 guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in 3 hours. Really, you guys reviewed all of that evidence in 3 hours.
It tells me that emotion played a disconnect between Murdaugh and the jury played a major factor in this.
Oh, absolutely.
And something AI could not have handled.
I think that AI, in that case, would have, at least if I was the defense, I would feel like, well, at least I knew that the AI considered all of the evidence and didn't just base it on any one thing.
Fair
right? When we come back, we'll do our case or no case, and then we'll get into Lori Vallow a little bit. Interesting statements made by some folks there. And
fascinating case.
Yeah.
Wow, Todd. I don't know how as a prosecutor you can stand it. As a prosecutor, you must be going, man, I want to tell me more. Right?
Yeah.
We'll be back on Radio Law Talk right here on many great local radio stations coast to coast, and we thank all of them, and also on RadioLawTalk.com and streaming on Spotify and every major podcast service. You can hear us there. We'll be back.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
So and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you want to know the secret to putting extra money back in your pocket? Then switch your car insurance. And now you can make one phone call and shop dozens of insurance companies. Just like buying airline tickets, where it's easy to make one call that has all the best deals. We have great deals with most of the major top-rated insurance companies. We are your superstore for car insurance. We've switched people from their expensive car insurance plans and saved them hundreds of dollars a year. If you think you're paying too much for your car insurance, call now. It's easy to switch, and in 5 minutes, yes, just 5 minutes, you'll learn how much money you can save on your car insurance. Save yourself some money this year. Call now for your car insurance. Call E-Insurance now for your free car insurance quote. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
All right. So, Cal.
Yes, sir.
In case or no case,
yeah.
You and I are tied for the day. You skunked me on the first hour.
But you got me on the second one.
And then the second hour.
Badly. You got
me. So it was, we are both at six because it's triple points Saturday.
Yeah, because we're by ourselves.
And go ahead. All right, this is the tiebreaker for you and
me.
There
we go. Now I can feel the tension.
Play case or no case.
Yeah. Carl Eschenbach was a man with a streak of larceny and a taste for the high life. Back in the day when airline passengers could exchange tickets hassle-free, 1963, Carl bought a first-class ticket with cash to London. Very expensive. He would then go into the first-class passenger lounge and eat a lavish meal reserved for the first-class passengers about to embark on a long flight at no charge. Then he would go out and change the date for the ticket and did this once a month, getting a very nice and expensive meal free once a month. Everything was going well until he decided to cash back in the ticket a year later and cancel the flight. An alert airline employee finally recognized Mr. Eschenbach, called the airline security people. Of course, in those days, they were all back in the office. And finally, someone looked into what Mr. Eschenbach was doing, and the legal department sent a letter to him demanding $26 for 13 meals, $338, or about $3,000 now. The number he had scammed the airline out of. He refused, and the airline sent the legal team out and said, I know this isn't much money, but there's a principal involved here. So we need to call legal and see if we have a case or no case. And what say you, Mr. Kunin, case or no case?
Well, let's see here. Is he getting something that other people pay for and he didn't pay for it? I would say, clearly, I think the answer is yes.
I would say he's getting a meal.
He is getting his meals,
yeah.
And you know, it is what they pay for. I guess the question here is whether or not they would spend their time for that. And, you know, here's what I'm going to say. I think this is absolutely a true scenario. Somebody who found a loophole, found some way to scam, but I don't think it ever materialized to a case. I think what ended up happening is the airline just said, yeah, okay, you're suspended from flying with us. And it was an internal thing. They reserved the right to refuse service to anybody, and you will no longer fly with us because of this. But it never went to the stage of somebody actually filing a grievance, a case where lawyers had to get involved and a judge, somebody had to make a decision whether it resulted in settlement or not.
They sent him a letter that said, don't you ever step foot on this airline again. Scenario, no case. Congratulations, Todd Kunin. Yes, there you go.
All right. Okay, so.
But it was a clever idea, pretty nice little gambit, you know, for a while.
Sure, a clever idea.
And he got a nice meal out of it, 13 times. Very nice.
So we've been talking about the AI, right, in the context of...
AI could have figured that out, by the way.
It could have.
Repeat.
Yes, yeah. Fraud. Right. You know, you must... the adjudicator, you know, like the Terminator. Right. I must break you. Oh, sorry. You know, I did Terminator, and I just quoted Ivan Draco from Rocky. What am I doing? I'm mixing up my... well, that's...
that's rough, son.
That's rough, son. That's rough. Number of my feathers. So we've talked about AI in the context of trials and things like that. Let's talk about things in the context of appellate.
Okay.
Appellate issues and what might be coming up. Now, the state of Utah has passed a law to... their reasoning is to protect their young children. It's the Anti-Pornography Act, and it went in effect this week,
yep.
Where purveyors, websites that have adult entertainment,
the name of which we will not mention, nonetheless.
But well, there's no specific website. It's all of them. I mean, anybody that has a website that has what would be deemed to be pornography, adult entertainment, now has to have an age verification check system going in where the user, every time they access the site, has to enter information to prove that they are 18 years of age or older to prevent this material from being displayed to minors, people under the age of 18.
So kind of like people in a convenience store buying beer where they say, we card every time?
Yes.
That same principle, if you will.
Well, and that is, I guess, but that is what the law that went into effect in the state of Utah.
Right.
And in response to that, The law went into effect this week, and the lawsuit was also filed this week on behalf of those in the pornography industry, as well as others, claiming that this is an unlawful infringement on the First Amendment rights of the websites that have this. It's a form of speech. It's their communication, and this is an unlawful infringement on their rights. And now it's interesting that. The question here is going to be, what is the standard that a court would have to use in the underlying lawsuit if there's going to be, you know, obviously the porn industry is seeking an injunction to prevent the law from going into effect. And if it is deemed to be an encroachment on the First Amendment, what legal standard needs to be applied? What would the government have to show to justify this encroachment? And I had it here because the argument is that it imposes a content-based restriction on protected speech that, here's the standard, requires narrow tailoring to serve a compelling state interest. We come back, we'll talk about that standard as it applies, and then ask the question, what would AI do?
And boy, do I have a question for you about that. So
okay.
I hope I remember it. Hope my real intelligence, such as it is, can remember around the AI question. Would AI have to look at it and determine what pornography is?
Well, you know, interesting that you say that, because there was some Supreme Court justices. We saw this in law school, where the standard was hard to define, but you know it when you see it. Yeah. Well, that's a tough one to leave to AI. Now, wouldn't it be?
I would say.
So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Stay tuned. Radio Law Talk continues with Todd Kuhn, Todd the Great, as I will call him now, Todd the Kuhn, and we'll be back. Hang on.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is gonna do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Okay. Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quick Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick 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 Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch these cutters shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car.
Are you struggling with a high cost of prescription medications? How would you like to save up to 90% on your medications and have them delivered for free? Now you can with one simple call. Yes, save up to 90% on many of your prescription medications by calling A+ BBB accredited healthwarehouse.com based in Florence, Kentucky. No gimmicks, no coupons, no cards to use. And all prescriptions are FDA approved and safely sent to your home with free delivery. Here's one example of your savings. A 90-day prescription of generic Lipitor can cost $90 at your local pharmacy. Healthwarehouse.com offers the same medication for about $20. Find out how much you can save on your prescription medications and get free delivery with one free call right now.
Call 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229. That's 800-734-12.
USA News Update. They're celebrating in London after King Charles III was officially crowned. The historic coronation took place at Westminster Abbey for Charles and Queen Camilla, with thousands of guests from around the world in attendance. The favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby has been scratched. Forte will not be racing, and for owner Mike Rapole, it's a huge disappointment.
It's a big stage. Everyone's looking at this race. We haven't had the best week here, and I think they were overly cautious. but I have to understand and respect the fact that they're overly cautious.
Forte scratched due to a bruise on her foot. Ukraine's Air Force says it shot down a Russian hypersonic missile over Kyiv using newly acquired American Patriot defense systems. The ballistic missile was intercepted in an overnight attack on the Ukrainian capital earlier in the week. It's the first time Ukraine has used the Patriot defense system. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is the best show ever. I'm being at this time.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So is it obscene? Is it pornography? Or is it protected by the First Amendment? That is the question that is going to be presented to courts in the state of Utah based upon the new law that went into effect requiring websites that show adult material and pornographic material. And whether or not and the new law that requires identification checks every time somebody accesses it. And this raises an issue. This is a case we studied in law school. I remember this one, Jacob Ellis versus Ohio. And it was 1964. And the case went, an individual was convicted for showing what was determined to be obscene material. It was a movie, a French film that was played, and it was deemed to be obscene. He was convicted of violating the law, and the case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and Justice Potter Stewart, in what has become a rather famous opinion, the conviction was overturned. It was overturned because in the view of the Supreme Court, it was deemed that the movie was not obscene and pornographic, but the hard part was to define what is pornographic. I mean, to a certain extent, you could say, well, it's showing the private parts and things like that. But listen to what the judge said. This is Justice Potter Stewart, 1964. He said, I shall not today attempt further to define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced within that shorthand description, quote, hardcore pornography, close quote. And perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so. But I know it when I see it, and the motion picture involved in this case is not that. And there's the standard. I know it when I see it standard.
Is this when the community standard was developed, the so-called community standard for pornography?
If it violates the prurient interests of the community and what have you. But, I mean, what a subjective standard, the I know it when I see it.
Right.
So boy, you're really rolling the dice here if something ends up being, well, the judge said I know it when I see it, and that's not it, right? Now, That is one of the challenges a law like this faces. The second is whether it's, because any time there is a First Amendment encroachment by the government, it is subject to the highest standard that the appellate courts can impose, which is strict scrutiny. They look at the restriction, and they look to see if it is narrowly tailored to satisfy some important legitimate governmental interest. Now, the state of Utah put forth a bunch of support for this law, which is the detrimental and negative effects that pornography has not only in general, but especially on children.
Right.
And look, as neutral as people want to stay, I absolutely agree with what the state of Utah has said about the negative effects and detrimental effects that it can have on children.
I have no problem with what they're trying to do. And do I have a problem with how? I don't know. Good question.
Well, so then you look at it, and I'm just giving you my armchair quarterback here.
Right,
but
right.
In my opinion, is the statute narrowly tailored to achieve a legitimate government interest? I think that there's absolutely a legitimate government interest. And I don't think that the impediment, the encroachment of requiring somebody to enter verifying information to verify that they're over the age of 18 is, I just...
too restrictive.
I don't think it's too restrictive.
I mean, if you get carded in a bar, if you go to California and you're bringing a Nevada legal gun into the state, we were just talking about this earlier, isn't this the same kind of a thing? The state says it's in our interest to keep the gun out, so we've defined the gun.
Yeah.
Here's the gun we want out. To me, it's the same kind of a deal.
And I think to a certain extent, probably largely, I mean, let's face it. It is a violation of federal law to show adult material to children.
Right.
So all the state of Utah is doing is saying it's a violation of our law here, and it's a violation of federal law, too. We're trying to enforce this. Now.
Oh, and they're not blocking production of the material,
no.
So the free speech can continue. They're just blocking consumption, just like California is not blocking the production of certain weapons. That can continue. They're just blocking consumption.
That's right. And they're blocking it. They're blocking consumption from a class, minors, that it's illegal for them to give it to. So the state could make the argument that by doing this, we are actually helping you to abide by the law so that there is none of this inadvertent, I'm using air quotes because... yeah, inadvertent display towards kids.
Yeah.
Right? And I guess some would argue that to a large extent that this is it's a symbolic law. The enforcement's going to be difficult. One of the major purveyors of the site has blocked all access from the state of Utah to their site.
Works for me. Good.
Works for me.
Great.
I venture to say that everybody in the state of Utah that wants to access that site will still be able to do so because they use a VPN that makes the internet think that they're logging on from, you know, another state.
Yep. Or they can drive to Wendover, Nevada.
It's circumventable, but still, I think that it is a very small encroachment. We'll see how this plays out.
I don't see any great harm to the protected class here, Todd. I'm not trying to talk like a lawyer, but they're trying to protect children. I don't get any great harm to them because the state is offering this restriction.
Well, and again, what they're looking at here is the argument in the lawsuit is that the aggrieved party in the lawsuit is the websites that put out this material.
Hmm.
And they're saying that our First Amendment rights as a website are being encroached by this. And it's, I think that, well, no, they're not being completely prohibited.
It's only consumption.
They're being encroached upon in the sense that we're making sure that your content is not displayed to a group that is legally prohibited from seeing it.
Yep.
And so I It'll be an interesting way to see this place out. Now, how would AI deal with this?
I think AI would say, First Amendment, freedom of speech. The speech is continuing, so that's okay. The only people who have a problem would be people who cannot consume it. Are they being harmed? No. Okay, you lose. Porn purveyors, you lose. That's my guess.
I would be curious to know how AI would deal with a standard.
Good point.
I know it when I see it.
Yeah, that's
right. That presents yet another. You're always going to need humans in the as pilots of fighter aircraft because they have to make decisions that sometimes. Here we go. Here's a classic example. I'm watching football.
Okay.
Right. I love this series, Amazon Web Services. This is the spot commercials that they run all the time during football.
Okay.
And it's some great play that some quarterback made, and you know, it says, look, Amazon Web AWS predicted the likelihood of success on this throw to this spot, given all this stuff, had, you know, an 8% chance of succeeding. And you'd think that no AI would ever throw that based upon those percentages.
Right.
And yet it did succeed, and that's why they won the game, and they did that. And that's because you got a human sitting in there willing to take the risk of failure. And I think that's where things go different. One is just a complete statistical analysis. The other is the willingness to take a risk of failure, but the success would be far greater. And that's why you need humans in cockpits of planes. It's why you need humans playing sports. And in my opinion, it's why you need judges and juries made up of people, not AI.
And it's why we need Todd Kuhnen on Radio Law Talk.
Sure.
Because of this pithy analysis you just provided. That was good. That was good stuff.
That and 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee if you're getting a cup of coffee from a place that sells it for 50 cents, right?
Good luck on that, right?
So, look, when we come back, we're coming up on a break. Are we coming up? Yes, we are.
We got a little bit over a minute.
We got about a minute left. We come back. Yeah. A couple of interesting things in the Lori Vallow case.
This case just fascinates me.
It does. This is one that I think AI would have no problem getting. I think that anybody would go, yeah, AI got it right. Just some crazy stuff in the last week or two in Lori Vallow and evidence that was presented. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Last segment of Radio Law Talk coming up. Don't go away.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk with Todd Kuhnen, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
You turn on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
Listening to Radio Law Talk. Now this.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, way, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Info at RadioLawTalk.com.
So, Lori Vallow facing murder charges. She's charged in connection with the death of her two children, as well as the wife of Chad Daybell, his former spouse, who died. Let's see, the two children and Mrs. Daybell died within weeks of each other, and that was within a few months of Lori Vallow's, I think at the time it was her fifth husband, had died as a result of being killed by her brother, Lori Vallow's brother. I mean, just we're talking a four or five month window, a lot of deaths. That, and then Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow got married in Hawaii, and how could that ever come back to bite us?
All's well that ends well. Yeah. Oh, wait, it's not over.
But, you know, this show we've been talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and whether or not it could replace judges or juries. And one of the issues that was brought up back in the first hour that we've been talking about, second and third hour here, is the role of emotions and passion in the trials. And, you know, it's interesting. Prosecutors try to get in evidence. They really want it. If they're being, if you talk about it in their office when judges aren't around, they're going to argue that it is evidentiary, Your Honor. We need it for the evidence, but they really want it for the emotion. They really want it for the emotional value. So let's go through evidence that has been presented in Lori Vallow's case and see. I'll give you my opinion. Cal, I'm curious your opinion. I'll tell you what I think, and then you can tell me what you think about whether or not, is this really evidentiary, or do they really want it for the emotional aspect of it? For example, the doomsday belief, the belief that evidence has been presented that Chad Daybell is a doomsday author and that Lori Vallow is a devout follower of his, and that they believed that they had divine missions, that they had been married in a pre-life, and that she had a divine mission in this life, and her brother was supposed to be her protector, and people either had a light spirit in them or a dark spirit, and if they had a dark spirit, they were referred to as zombies and stuff. So, on whole, do you think that is evidentiary? I mean, do they really want that for the evidentiary value? It's got some, or is it the emotional, these people are a bunch of wingnuts?
Well, I think establishing them as wingnuts makes the evidence they'll present later more credible. So I would say kind of yes and yes. They want the emotional backdrop, and then they say, and against this backdrop, here's what we say they did.
Yes, I see. I see it as, and I'll contrast this with another piece of evidence here in just a second, but I see this as really a play on the emotional, because you know what? If the jury thinks these people are absolutely whacked out, crazy people do things that are stupid, like killing people,
yep.
Killing kids.
Right? Yep. Can't be sane and do that.
All right. So, what about this? Evidence from, Lori Vallow's friend, Melanie Gibb.
Oh, man, what a testimony. What testimony she's been giving.
So, Melanie Gibb, it was a recorded phone conversation. So, this is great. It's a recorded phone conversation between Melanie Gibb and Lori Vallow. And apparently, Lori Vallow had told police that her kids, that everybody's ever missing, were with Melanie Gibb, which we absolutely know is not true. Now, is that more emotional or more evidential, would you think?
Evidentiary.
Absolutely evidentiary, because for this reason, why are you lying about the whereabouts with your kids and telling law enforcement they're with your friend when you know, regardless of whether they were dead at the time, you know they're not with her? Why are you lying about it?
Right.
Right?
And that anyone likes to catch a bad guy, a suspected bad guy in a lie. Right?
That's right. That's right. So that is evidence that really weighs, in my mind, towards being evidential, not based on emotion.
I like this game. No.
Charles Vallow, her fifth husband that died, and it was shortly after that death that she moved to Idaho to be closer to Chad Daybell.
Right.
Charles Vallow, she told her friend that Charles Vallow was having an affair and that she needed a place to stay. This was prior to the move. And then said that she was, quote, done with JJ. JJ is her son, her adopted son. She was done with JJ and that Charles and his sister would need to figure something out.
Evidentiary.
I would say that's pretty evidentiary.
Yeah.
Because she's done with JJ, which means if the jury believes that, it is...
Therefore, I'm going to kill him.
There's disregard for that. And the fact that Charles, her husband, she claiming that he had an affair... is one of those where why she would want out of the relationship, and she didn't care because JJ was his child, and then JJ can stay with Charles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Here we go. An email or an inquiry to a property in Hawaii that would have been 3 days after the couple was married and before the kids were reported missing. An email sent to a property in Hawaii saying that they would, quote, be interested in leasing the property. Would you be interested in leasing the property to a clean couple with no pets or children?
Whoa. Evidentiary shows intent.
Absolutely evidentiary. She was looking for properties, and she knew there would be no kids in tow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Okay. The evidence from her surviving son, her older son, on a phone conversation where he's yelling at his mom, saying, "You've ripped my heart out. You've ripped everyone's heart out. JJ, why didn't you let him go be with somebody else? You lied to me." All of this, evidentiary or emotional?
Ripped out heart, evidentiary, but testimony, emotional.
Absolutely emotional. Because the thing is she didn't respond to that. Now, they're probably trying to say that she's cold and callous. The problem is it's a jail phone call. And the defense is going to say, she knows that it's being recorded and anything you say can be used against you. Of course she's not going to say anything in response to that.
Yep.
Now, there was another one. So JJ's body was found. It was wrapped in duct tape.
Right.
And this was a big one that came out.
Garbage bag and duct tape. Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And
terrible scene.
Her hair was found attached to the duct tape that a DNA analyst came in. I like the way it was reported. I'm talking about the way it was reported and what was actually said. It was reported that the DNA analyst said that, and this matches Lori Vallow's hair. Okay. Now, before we get into what the testimony actually was, is that evidentiary emotional?
Evidentiary.
And even one person is saying, that's the smoking gun evidence. That says she did it. And there are a lot of people saying the fact that her hair was found.
DNA don't lie.
On
DNA
him, it was. And to me, that's probably the weakest piece of evidence they have to tie her to that.
Really? Why is that?
She was his mother. You ever pull out a pair of clothes that's yours and you find hair from your wife or somebody that you live with is there? She was his mother.
But duct tape.
It is not uncommon. And if duct tape is found in his pajamas, if duct tape is wrapped around somebody in their pajamas and the hair was attached to the pajamas, that's why it's going to be on the duct tape.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, so they reported it as the expert said that it matched Lori Vallow. And that is not the way DNA experts testify.
So maybe it wasn't an expert?
No. The way DNA experts testify and the way this expert testified is this, quote, said the probability of randomly selecting a random individual in relation to that profile is 1 in 71 billion. A DNA expert will never come in and say this matches that. What they will say is if you randomly selected DNA from people, the probability that you would come up with these markers is 1 in such and such billion.
Right.
Let the attorneys argue that it matches them.
Well, so does that mean that the prosecutors did not properly instruct this person how to testify?
No.
They weren't experienced.
No. So what I'm saying is the person testified the way they were supposed to testify. It's just that the people reporting it reported it as if the witness had said, yes, this matches that person.
Yeah.
That, and I guarantee you the experts going, that's not what I said. They make this big deal about it. It's like, look, the prosecution is going to make that argument.
Yeah.
But where did 3 hours go, Cal?
I don't know, but you know what I like about this part of the last hour?
What's that?
I get to hear your quick take on whatever we have discussed on the show today, whatever item you choose as one you want to make sure people remember.
Well, here we go.
All right, here we go.
Artificial intelligence. After discussing it for 3 hours, I would not want to have any case decided by AI as a judge or a jury. Give me people. I just wouldn't want to have it happen.
And minus artificial intelligence, may I have some, please? That's all. All I want.
artificial courage? Yes, I'm pouring a drink. No, stop. Okay. Well, thanks, folks, for joining us on Radio Law Talk. We'll be back next Saturday for another exciting 3 hours talking about the news of the week and what we think is there. See you then.
It's been an honor, Todd. Thank you so much, and thanks, folks, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.